Blog Talk Radio.
My friends, where the music never ends. We're so glad for all your minds that we find, that we find. Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Late Night Poets Rhythm and Rhyme Show. We're part of the world's largest community. That's allpoetry.com, and there you shall find us, the Late Night Poets. We put these radio shows on 7 nights a week, Monday through Sunday, 10 p.m. through midnight. Come hang with our wild dove, Lulu, in Nature and Passion on Mondays. Dig into the twisted thoughts of the Twisted Sisters on Twisted Tuesdays. Turn up the heat with the Art of Seduction on Wednesday. Thursdays are split between In Our Craft or Selling Art with Richard and Neutron and Double Helix with Aphasiana and Dex. Friday, come fill my eyes with open poetry. And every other Saturday, join Grey Eyes howling at the moon in the Canadian wilds as he brings you bad company. And if you're looking for a little more edgy realm, and check out our After Midnight shows, 12:30 to 2:30 a.m. Monday through Saturday mornings. Join Mistress Frost and Mr. M as they indulge within the Black Lace Diaries tonight. Tuesday, take a walk on the wild side. Wednesday, join Neutron as the After Midnight Bomber. Fridays, crawl into the darkness with Pam or break on through. And on Saturday, join Aphasiana and Babla as they teach you the fine arts of being part sinner, part saint. Check out the contests and prompts for all of our shows. Call in to read your poems and hang for the fun. Even donate a SoundCloud if you like. And good evening, Pam. How you doing?
Hello, Rex. I am doing great. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm all what?
Awesome sauce. I forgot that song has that one little quiet spot, like within the last minute and a half, but that's okay.
I didn't hear it.
And yeah, well, that's the thing is it has this part in it where it just gets really quiet and sounds like this quiet ticking, and then it starts back up. And I thought, okay, well, he's talking, so I can either mute him or I can stop the song. And I thought, you know, I think if I mute him, that might throw him off a little bit. So I decided we didn't need to hear the last minute and a half of the song. But anyways.
Oh, there's more?
I'm really...
Oh, cool.
That's
okay.
Right.
Well, I thought that was the fade out right there.
I really like how you always do your intro and bring up the different shows. I think that's really cool. And, I was glad to see people were inspired and wrote for tonight's show. So, were you able to do any, or do you have anything you'd like to share with us about Imagine Dragons?
No, this one's on you since it's your pick. Aha.
Shit. Well, I guess I should have done more research. Okay, to be honest with you.
Well, I thought you were already digging on it.
I do like their music. I was introduced to their music probably about the time their album Smoke and Mirrors came out by my kids. My two oldest kids were, like, huge fans of theirs. And now, normally, I'm not into music that would be labeled pop, but they have a more rock sound pop and electric sound in some of their music. And there's something about their lyrics. Like when I suggested them to you, I wouldn't put them as one of my number one favorite bands of all time, but there is something about their lyrics. I think it was probably their song Goal and then their song Demons and the videos from that really grabbed my attention. Demons in particular grabbed my attention because it focused on those secrets that we keep from other people that are killing us or destroying us. And it's one of those, the video, if you ever get a chance to watch it, you should. It's powerful. Now, I don't know a heck of a lot about them. I do know that the lead singer and the one of the other guys went to Brigham Young University together, and they got together to start a band, and then other people joined and left throughout. Now, interestingly, well, I think it's interesting, Imagine Dragons is actually an anagram that is only known to the members of the band.
Well, that doesn't... Yeah. All right, there's a little bit of conspiracy in that one.
Right? Exactly. But I really like and appreciate the fact that there's this kind of sense of strength and spirituality within a lot of their music without going into the realm of preachy. There's this, in the song Believer, and the idea that through our brokenness, through our pain, we become stronger. you know, and yeah, I guess their music and their lyrics just, well, they caught my attention, and I thought, what the heck? Let's see if Rex will bite into this one. So, thank you for that. And I wish I knew more about them, but I really don't.
Well, there really isn't a whole lot of about
they're
them.
They're fairly
background
new.
Wise.
Yeah, background,
yeah,
exactly.
2012, and they have done, they've hit the Billboard charts. They've done well on commercially
and on YouTube.
With the American Music Awards, the Billboard Music Awards, one Grammy, MTV Music Award, and one World Music Award. So there is definitely popularity there, and they've sold 75 million records. And they were the 2018 Spotify top list of artists most played.
Absolutely. I know they're a really new band, so they haven't developed a lot of the history that the bands from obviously the 60s, 70s, 80s, and even 90s have developed. So obviously, you know, I didn't choose them in thinking that we were going to be able to talk a lot about their history. But, you know, I figured that I think, honestly, in my opinion, and I could be wrong, you know, maybe 10, 20 years from now, you can quote me as being wrong, but I think they're a band that has potential to create a history that people will be talking about. I'm horrible with names.
Well, they do have Nirvana, The Beatles, Paul Simon, Coldplay, Harry Nilsson, and U2 as some of their influences.
Yep. That's a cool thing to point out. Dan Reynolds, that's the lead singer. He's actually really big into helping organizations out. He's given money to programs that help keep music programs in school. He has a thing that helps young people with cancer. In fact, if you watch the video Demon, at the very end of it, there's this young man dancing with Imagine Dragons that they dedicate the video to. That was a young man who died of cancer. He just is really big, as far as I can tell, into giving back to his community.
With sales of $75 million, I'd say they've got some money to spare so they can indulge themselves in charitable donations and organizations set up to that appeal to them.
Oh, absolutely. But you know how many people could easily make charitable donations and don't? So, yeah, he definitely has the money to make them, but he could easily be spending that money on something else. Oh, and I know you don't have, like, if you get a chance, if you haven't already, watch their video for Radioactive. That is just one of the craziest videos ever and worth watching.
Okay, I remember Radioactive from 1980 with The Firm. That's Paul Rodgers and Jimmy Page.
Oh, okay. Was it the same song?
I doubt it.
Or probably
no,
not.
It isn't.
Probably
it isn't
not. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. You never know. Well, sometimes there's remakes. Sometimes there is. And, you know. Oh, it's good to see Aaron and Naomi and Casey on the board. Always good to have people hanging out.
Kick them off.
Right.
Not literally. I didn't mean it that way. Let's kick the show off.
Kick them off the board. Kick them off. Do you happen to know if Wayne is planning on calling in?
I don't think so. That's why we had the SoundCloud.
Okie dokie. I just wanted to double check. You know, because if he was
He was unsure about the SoundCloud. He said, well, we'll see. Maybe that might be the impetus for checking out the SoundCloud to see what kind of reaction he gets to it. before he shows his face, I guess, because he said he wasn't sure about it. Hey, we welcome all SoundClouds. But he says, I tried, might get a good laugh out of it. Okay.
Thanks for all that. Awesome. Awesome. Well, he is first on the list, so I will go ahead and put his right up. And we have I Pray You're on My Side, a parody by Wayne Gent. And I'll go ahead and find that and push play. All right, here we go.
This is a parody from the Imagine Dragons. My poem is called I Pray You're on My Side. It goes like this. As we all grow old, we are not as bold as we try to be when our story is told. Talk of a time in jail, all the ones making bail, all the things we saw living in a cell. I still thought of you, but what could I do as my case was tried? All the witnesses lied. I didn't take the heed. I should have been freed. My reaction was dumb. Now I'm feeling so numb. I wish you could have me. Don't believe all the lies. I pray you're on my side. I pray you're on my side. Not the life I chose. In you I confide. I pray you're on my side. I pray you're on my side. Walk down the prison halls, only concrete walls. Don't think I'll get out. Watch the prisoners brawl. No one here to save, trying to be brave. Wish they let me out, too much time they gave. Too scared to make a sound, all the weapons found. Tell me what should I do, they don't know the truth. Another trial I need, will you plant the seed? You know I'm not that dumb, you know I'm not that dumb. Wanna be on the street, you know my alibis. I pray you're on my side. I pray you're on my side. Not the life I chose, in you I confide. I pray you're on my side. I pray you're on my side. Maybe parole I'll make before it's too late. Tell them what you know. Tell me they may believe it's so. Your story could make it right. I wanna win this fight. I can't escape here now. Don't make me throw in the towel. I think you are so sweet. Don't believe the lies. I pray you're on my side. I pray you're on my side. Not the life I chose. In you I confide. I pray you're on my side. I pray you're on my side.
Great read, Wayne. Thank you very much for the SoundCloud. It is greatly appreciated. All right, Pam, what you think?
Well, I have to say that was a...
To Demons.
Yes. Yep, I recognized that. He had a couple spots where he hit those high notes really well. I have to say, the spot-on parody. Demons was written to more than any other song. In fact, it was written to so much, we could have probably just done a contest on that song alone. But then we would have missed some other great rights. And what I really like about this is, to me, I think that you could easily see it as being something as, you know, almost romantic in its crazy way, but I actually think it's somebody singing to their lawyer, somebody, you know, who's hoping their lawyer is on their side. I like how this, you know, comes across as that story about how everyone and anyone always says they're innocent. And it never right. I mean, it says, but it always kind of leaves you questioning, you know, is the person innocent, or are they hoping that their lawyer's dirty enough that they'll be easily persuaded or paid off? That's kind of the idea that I get from it. I really like, no one here to save, trying to be brave, wish they let me out, so much time they gave, too scared to make a sound, all the weapons found, tell what should I do, they don't know the truth. There's kind of this intensity within those lines, in those lines that I really appreciate. And so, excellent write and very well done.
All right, yeah. All right, this kind of hits on that note of walking within a life that you know might bring you trouble, but still, trouble comes your way. And there's a note to a thought to being set up, and that because you've gotten way too much time that's been given. And like you said, the thought of a, you know, my alibi. So there's that note to talking to his lawyer, so to speak. Hey, come on, get me the hell out of here. I don't belong in here, let alone with this much time to bide away, which kind of hits on that note, don't make me throw in the towel. Yeah, with that note, there is kind of a thought to don't make me throw in the towel is kind of notation. Hey, you best get me out before I start dumping everybody else in here with us. But then
exactly.
Again, I think you're so sweet, don't believe the lies. I pray you're on my side. I pray you're on. Then that kind of hits me with the note of a plea, a prayer to God.
Oh, yeah, I could see that, actually. That's a really good point. You know, or maybe he's got a female lawyer and he's buttering her up, or thinks he is.
Yeah, that'd be something she hasn't never heard before.
Right. I don't know what Better Call Saul is, but that's funny. Aaron says, sounds like a new theme for Better Call Saul. I'm guessing that's a TV show.
Oh, yes. She said that raunchy lawyer who came out of Breaking Bad.
Oh, okay. I've always wanted to watch Breaking Bad, and I haven't yet. I think that's going to be my next one I'm going to check out on Netflix. All right.
Okay.
So. And
where are we going next?
Up next, we have The Final Curtain Call by Dan Lake. And Rex, will you give that a read for us, please?
The Final Curtain Call by Dan Lake. I read a book concerning World War I called Tommy's Ark, written by Richard Van Emden, about heroic animals and nature and how they affected soldiers' lives in the trenches. It prompted me to write this poem looking through the eyes of a sentry at dawn. My image of desolation is around a stream called Steam Beak in Flanders. The Final Curtain Call. The false dawn whispered prophecies of poppies soon to bloom, while undiscovered superstars purr forth a secret tune. What song these birds will contemplate among the fields of gray, among this timeless universe that brings another day. I try to hold the image of the shadows telling lies, but time spins on remorselessly, revealing azure skies, a thousand shades of lazulin where darkness lately fled, now sits upon an eiderdown of stormy days ahead. Another burp, another scar to add to many more. Disrupting nature once again lands in the trench next door. While black lungs draw their final breath, the wildlife mourns aloud. The orchestra of nature soon resumes again, unbowed. The golden face of deity, as though by sleight of hand, appears above the colander that once was fertile land. Yet unconcerned, the skylark soars as if by divine right, and celebrates the prophecies once whispered in the night. The dark which hides the horrors of such awfulness from me will one day tire of curtain calls, revealing misery. End poem. Ooh. All right, Pam, what you got on that?
Well, first of all, great read there, Rex. Very cool. Dan has a wonderful write here. And what I like is that, although I wish he had put it in his AN so that I'm not just guessing, but I'm guessing he wrote to the song Demons, not only because it's a dark write, but because of the fact that there is a line in there that in that song that mentions a curtain call, the final. So what I really like is that he focused the title and the theme, the focus, the title and the theme of the write around the one line. And I like when people really look at the music and then decide what line or lines particularly speak to them. All the way through this is wonderful, but I try to hold the image of the shadows telling lies, but time spins out remorsely, revealing azure skies. A thousand shades of lazuline where darkness lately fled, now sits upon an elder down of stormy days ahead. It's like that kind of idea that feeling, realizing all of a sudden that all of the hope you had was false. All that you thought that everything was going to be a smooth ride, and you realize now all of a sudden it wasn't. I also like, yet unconcerned, the skylark soars as if by divine right and celebrates the prophecies once whispered in the night. I like that idea that no matter what, nature goes on, you know, and will continue to go on. Really just a powerful write, great rhyme and flow, a hard-hitting book about the atrocities that bring us down. And I do know he was reading a book.
Hello? Oh, did you drop already? Okay, Pam, I guess I'll wait for you to get your phone straight now, go back. Anyway, this I haven't read the book as of yet, but this does recall a scene from the original movie, All Quiet on the Western Front. I saw the black and white version. There's a scene in there where a soldier's in the trench, and everything's quiet for the moment, and he notices this butterfly, and you got this one reflection of purity and light in and around all this devastation and death, which abounds on those fields of not so glorious poems. But he does capture that quite well. Another Burke, another Scott adds to many more. Disrupting nature once again lands in the trench next door. There's a nice notation, well, not a nice notation, but a notation to the ease of devastation, which kind of wound its way along the lines. And where else? We got the golden face of deity, as though by sleight of hand, appears above the colander that once was fertile land. I like that thought, the colander. It kind of hits that notion of how pockmarked the land was. And then again, that thought in the next line, yet unconcerned, the skylark soars as if by divine right. Celebrates the prophecies once whispered in the night. Just the thought of seeing something, at least that gives a bit of brightness to the bleak surroundings that encompass this particular story. So, did you get your phone fixed?
I did. So, how far into my brilliant comment did I actually get?
I don't know. You phased in and out, and then you just went bye-bye.
Ah, geez, I hate when it does that. Yeah, it dropped the call.
Said something about the book being really good, and then you were gone.
Oh, Well, there you go. No, I just, I really particularly, as I was saying, liked the lines about the, where was that? Oh, where the stanza that says, I tried to hold the image of the shadow telling lies, and how within that whole stanza there's this idea of suddenly becoming aware of the false hope that was around you and seeing life for what it truly is. And I also really liked the lines where it says the skylark soars as if by divine right and celebrates prophecies once whispered in the night. And that whole idea that no matter how brutal and ugly life and war gets, nature continues to live and to celebrate. I thought this had great rhyme and flow and a beautiful sense of darkness and desolation. And that was very well done.
Absolutely. All right. Where are we off to next?
All right. And... oh, Aaron Panther says, you mentioned the book, then poof. Pretty much how sometimes my commenting goes. Mention something, poof. All right, so let's see if I can read a poem. All right, this is Dragon's Apocalypse by Betty Page, and it goes like this. Cities set ablaze, fires raining down from the skies, vivid in rainbows. Inhale sticky smoke, visions blurry, tripping out, dragons flying around, drifting high in breeze, riding above tall pine trees, conversing with owls, medieval magic, wizard and witches swirling, casting wicked spells, lost princess sings deep far into black forest, her voice echoes sweet, her prince top his horse, searches to capture her swift from apocalypse. End poem.
Great read, Pam. Well, this kind of walks almost in two themes. Kind of sets out from the, we go, inhale sticky smoke, visions blurry, tripping out, dragons flying around. There's kind of that notion to puff the magic dragon right there, kind of walking a different tune to, all right, what are you smoking, Betty? And then she hits on the magical angle with witches and wizards and casting spells. So, is she brewing some love potion number 9? So that prince atop his horse comes to save her from the ugly dragons?
I like that. Very cool.
What you got?
Well, I like how you mentioned the whole puff the magic dragon thing. I thought that was very cool. I feel like when I read this right from Betty, that she may also know what the anagram, like I feel like she was there with Imagine Dragons, and she's like the fifth member that knows what the anagram means. There's, you know, what I really like about this is she wrote in the song a radio And brought us into an apocalypse, but like so many times when an apocalypse happens in a sci-fi story or a book, you know, it comes like as if you've gone back into the past. Really like drifting high in breeze, riding above tall pine trees, conversing with owls. I think especially the idea of conversing with owls has a very magical quality to it. I brought in the black. I actually got in a cable car above up the mountain above the Black Forest, which obviously based on its name is very dense. You know, so I like that instead of just a regular forest, she brings us into that area of Germany that is known for its not only a forest that's so dark and so dense, but also that there's a lot of mythology that comes from that area. And, you know, I like how the last line is that searches to capture her swift from apocalypse, making almost personifying the apocalypse as something that we need to be saved from. So I found this to be a really intriguing write and great imagery and very well done.
Well said. Black Forest.
Wow.
Home of hams and furniture.
What's full of what in furniture?
Black Forest, home of hams and furniture.
Oh, is my voice still going in and out? Oh, that was okay. I'm just looking at Aaron's comments. Must be the magic cheese causing Pam to go AWOL at random. That's funny.
Right. You need a new phone.
No, actually, it is that the service just drops. But then quickly comes back, thankfully. All right.
Well, that's what happens when you move
out
the way the bears take a shit in the woods.
Yeah. I much preferred living where they took a shit in town. I know. That's basically that's how the phone service is out here. I'm lucky it even works at all. All right. And speaking of Aaron's Panther, I have up his poem, Emotions Conflicting, and we do have a SoundCloud for that. So, let me find that. I know we have it. Here we go.
Emotions Conflicting by Errant Panther. Feel the cold seeping deep into unknown pores. Sensations taking over make you believe you're a victim of someone else's delusion. Can't shake the pressure of everything crashing down. Just need some breathing room from emotions conflicting. Looking out from these spaces growing ever darker. Searching for a way out to somewhere you no longer fight within yourself, fearing any moment you'll lose control. Got to find some breathing room from emotions conflicting. The demons keep circling, but this time you're determined to not let them win again. So you wipe your tears off the mirror and reflect on the light that's within you. One step closer to breathing room, from emotions conflicting. Clouded thoughts now are fading, and the shadows they're waning. Fevered nerves are abating, clear waters emerging. Finally found some breathing room, from emotions conflicting. End poem.
Great read, Aaron Panther. Thank you very much for the SoundCloud. It is greatly appreciated. And EP took the song Friction, Pam, so why don't you kick us off?
Yeah, I actually had never heard the song Friction before, so I thought it was really cool to be introduced to a song of theirs that I hadn't heard before. So, of course, I had to go listen to it and read the lyrics. And I really liked his take on the prompt. I really like how he has the repetitive thought of needing some breathing room from emotions conflicting. And I like that because it kind of gives you the idea of struggling with anxiety and depression at the same time. Or maybe emotions conflicting because you're always seeing different sides of the stories. I'm also particularly drawn to of you believe you're a victim of someone else's delusion. The idea of getting caught up in somebody else's game, somebody else's, like when somebody becomes so delusional that they convince you to follow them in their path. But at the same time, there's this kind of idea that the delusions are your own, and especially when, you know, and I'm kind of blathering here, but when you see, like, so you wipe your tears off the mirror and reflect on the light that's within you, and it almost, like, at that point, I have to be thinking that the person is watching themselves in the mirror, and they are one part delusional and one part trying to find their ground in reality. I think this had a really nice photo. I really would like to see Aaron's Panther, Aaron's Make More SoundClouds, because I have to say he has a wonderful reading voice. And not only that, but I always feel when a poet reads their own words that they know exactly where they want to add the pause, pitch, and punch. You know, this is a great write all the way through. And I feel like clear waters emerging, finally found some breathing room from emotions conflicting. It almost feels like, and I could be wrong, but it almost feels like the idea of someone drowning in order to finally escape the struggle within themselves. But I'm really looking forward to what you have to say, Rex.
Well, actually, I think it can walk on a number of thoughts because of the language, the voice. You can hit this with the thought of depression and anxiety, and on a deeper level, you can walk it into the thought of one who's having an inner struggle, trying to keep the balance between the yin and the yang, the light and the dark. And there is also a thought to it could try to be keeping the evil at bay on a spiritual level. But it also, for me, the way it kind of walked through it, because of that mirror thought and everything else that walked in here, I had that thought of a priest who was in conflict with his faith. It's sitting on the wane, on the fence, so to speak, and he's having trouble communing properly with that which what he believes in. Then again, that of the emotions that are conflicting with him, that might be due to a lack of faith in his congregation, or the fact that maybe the angle of confession is taking its toll on him personally, and he's having conflicting views as to, is he doing any good? Is he in the right league, so to speak? Is this where he should be? But from the back end of this, cloud of thoughts now are fading and the shadows they waning. Fevered nerves are abating, clear waters emerging. Finally found some breathing room from emotions conflicting. She hit that end note. It walks on everything else I've said, but I like it with the priest thought as the back end. He's finally come to that reserve where he knows where his calling sits.
And that would work not just with a priest, but with any religious priest. That makes me think of the movie, what is it, the one with the girl that spits pea soup out? The Exorcist. The movie
Father Damien Caddis.
Yes. Yep, that was a very cool comment there. Very cool. I like that. All right. And yeah, there is definitely up next we have, as I was going to say, I have to agree that there is definitely a sense of inner struggle within those lines. And up next we have Coffee, Milk, Honey by Casey Day, and we have a SoundCloud for that. And here we go.
Coffee, milk, and honey. You took me, quintessentially grasping my throat, brought me home, hung up your coat, taped my mouth, and wrote a note. Whore, I live for the antidote. When you hold me, I feel your energy washing over me, bodies fit like puzzle piece, and the devil comes around, tries to hold me down. I fly on strings hanging down from heartbeat pounds. Right now, I'm fading. Right before your eyes. You always liked watching flowers die, drinking in the lies inside my eyes, because tomorrow there'll be blue skies and white lies. You'll be craving the blood of me, and all I left behind was my scent upon the sheets. Bittersweet, coffee, milk, and honey.
Great read, Casey. Thank you very much for the SoundCloud. It's truly appreciated. All right, Pam, why don't you delve into this one? I was not expecting that, considering the title, Coffee, Milk, and Honey.
Interesting. I have to say that out of all the demons, this is probably the most sensual in tone in some parts, but at the same time, it still has that darkness. Brought me home, hung up your coat, taped my mouth, and wrote a note, whore, I live for the antidote. There's that whole idea of being labeled, of being emotionally abused, and looking, not really sure if you want a way out or if there is a way out. I also really like how that in the end, you'll be craving the blood of me, and all I left behind was my scent upon the sheets, bittersweet, coffee, milk, and honey. What is my most important to me? What keeps no longer going to let you have? I really like how I'm swaying on strings hanging down from heartbeat pounds. Right now I'm fading right before your eyes. And to me, there's this real sense in that second part as it comes near between there and the end of almost like a phoenix rising out of the ashes. I like how she, has the imagery of and the honey. I could have, but the coffee represents that awakening. The milk and honey represent what in love and sweetness and will never be given again. It just really just a strong right in the whole idea of standing up and walking away, but knowing that you'll never completely walk away because there's still a part of you left. Really a great right and very well done.
All right, okay. I like that. Yeah, it's kind of between, you got such a wild thought between the first four lines and then the digging into the second half of this because of that offered up a note of pleasure in the moment. And then she got into the second end of this. This kind of hits on that sort of maybe a little role playing. The idea of maybe just picking someone up and all right, we'll play the, we'll pick up a hooker angle, so to speak, and play that game. And kind of runs in with that because you always like watching flowers die, drinking the lies inside my eyes, because tomorrow there'll be blue skies and white lies. So it kind of offers the notion that tomorrow's a new day. And yes, we can tell ourselves those little white lies that keep us coming back for a little bit more. And that thought with all I left behind was the scent upon the sheets. Bittersweet, coffee, milk, and honey offers up that notion of the morning after. The bittersweet memory of being gone in the moment or having to revert back to that which you are normally.
I like how you bring up the idea of role-playing, and how in that moment when you realize that you have to revert back to what you are normally, and how there's kind of almost that sadness there. So just a really, really cool comment. I like what Errant Panther had to say in the room, which is, nice read, Casey. Has central tones of intimacy, but with an underlying tone of self-loathing for getting into such situations.
That works too. Well,
Yep, I think so. I think anybody who comments in the room, in order to make sure that the show lasts, we're going to read their comments.
All right, so whose inkwell are we dipping into next?
Well, up next we have Broken Lie, a Demon's Parody by Diane B. And we have a recording for that. And I have Diane lately has been having a lot of fun with parodies. So I'm looking for this. And here we go.
Broken Lie, a Demon's Parody by Diane D. If I will not wake and you need a break, can't you try to see? It's a choice I make. When the nights are long and the days ain't strong, and I try but fail, and the rights are wrong, I'm gonna let you know, I'm gonna let you go. Because it's not the same, you only know my name. Don't worry what you say, I still will go my way. This is my goodbye voice, this is my goodbye voice. When you see my soul walk away once more, I'm just a broken lie, I'm just a broken lie. Don't let me stay, it's my desire. I'm just a broken lie, I'm just a broken lie. In the moonlit night, when I lose the right, when the stars go down and the angels fight, and they sat you down and they circle round, they are shouting out about the truths you found. I have to tell the truth, not to be uncouth, and that it's time to part, it's gonna break my heart. Don't worry what you say, I still will go my way. This is my goodbye voice, this is my goodbye voice. When you see my soul walk away once more, I'm just a broken lie, I'm just a broken lie. Don't let me stay, it's my desire. I'm just a broken lie, I'm just a broken lie. I said I'm not that guy, it's that I need to lie. I've written on my grave, don't fix the mess you made. My words, they cut so deep, they're gonna make you weep. I won't forget your face, you wear a crown of grace. When you see my soul walk away once more, I'm just a broken lie, I'm just a broken lie. Don't let me stay, it's my desire. I'm just a broken lie, I'm just a broken lie. End poem.
Oh, nicely read, Diane. Thank you very much for SoundCloud. It is greatly appreciated. And the ease in this one would be to offer up the thought of a narcissist, but there's a little bit more truth in this, kind of a almost a fair warning to who she is, because he sits there and offs, I'm just a broken lie, a broken lie. I have to tell the truth, not to be uncouth, and that it's time to part. It's going to break my heart. So there is a notion of having something of a little bit of a feeling. I got to give you fair warning. I am not going to be here for long. And you should know that up front. All right, Pam, what about you?
I like that thought. Well, first of all, this is a spot-on parody. Diane was saying earlier that she just listened to the song Demons over and over again and then wrote it, this parody, and I thought it was just really well done. And I like what you had to say with the idea that it gives a fair warning, and it gives fair warning with the idea that I have no plans on changing. He says, I said I'm not that guy. It's that I need to lie. It's written on my grave. Don't fix the mess you made. That really makes me think about the Charles Dickens classic, the Christmas story or Christmas tale. What is it called? The Christmas Carol. Yeah, that's it. And how Scrooge saw his own grave and changed. But this is like the opposite thought. It's the idea of someone who's saying, you know what, I'm never going to change. In fact, these are the words that are going to be on my grave. You know, so, and I like that she chose I'm just a broken lie as the repetitive line. I thought that was a really strong one. What else? In the moonlit night when I lose the right, when the stars go down and the angels fight and they set you down and they circle around, they're shouting out about the truth you found. I thought those were some really great lines. And the idea that there's this battle between good and evil, and it's almost like this person who's essentially, you know, as you mentioned, narcissistic, a liar, never going to change, and in that moment acknowledges that these angels are battling for this young woman, for this woman, for her soul. And there's this acknowledgement of just, you know, walk away right now because I am not on the right side, you know, and really just a great right all the way through. And I also really like the line, this is my goodbye voice. And I like the way she read that. It had a very almost chant-like quality to it. So that was very cool and very well done.
Offers up finality in the moment. And those thoughts of the angels kind of hit me with the idea you should be listening to your friends. They know better.
Yes, yes. And you know how, you know, friends, that's the thing, though, with people in love, and even if they're in love with a narcissist or they're in love with somebody who's abusive, they do not listen to their friends. It's just unfortunate, but yes. That is a really good point, you know, the whole idea of you should listen to your friends. Very cool.
Where are we going next?
All right. Up next we have Believe by Naomi Sarah. And do we have a SoundCloud for that? Or a recording. I don't think she uses SoundCloud. I just tend to say SoundCloud. And here we go.
Believe. You just have to believe. And everything is reborn. Everything is remade. Believe at the beginning of a story that nothing happens by chance, and make a new start. Believe, no matter how small you are, that life gives you the choice to love beyond yourself, to the immortal of cathedrals, to the stars after the stars. Believe that there is under the dust diamonds in every stone that our hands one day dig up. Believe that in the middle of the desert a river can flow into the sea, to the Atlantis of Jules Verne, to the pyramids that we raise. To believe, as great as they say, more alive than we imagine, and depend on a smile that knocks you down, capsizes you, and gives you a future. Believe like a tree that makes its bud, in spite of the wind that takes its leaves. Believe in life dressed in mourning. Live in reverse of all those who are afraid to risk one's skin, just like the flowers do when their petals open up to show their heart. It is enough to believe that endless night becomes new dawn. Happiness seeks to see us again. You just have to believe. And like love, you always win. Always have hope and just believe. When life gives you a hard time, believe in yourself and stand up to see the victory in spite of everything. To believe in refusing the night. Believe, pushing a cry, a huge yes, yes, yes to life.
Wonderful read, Naomi. Thank you very much for the SoundCloud. It is greatly appreciated. All right, Pam, what have you got?
I really like this. You know, Naomi always comes across as a very positive person, but I'm so used to her after midnight poetry and her poetry that she writes, you know, like for the dark show and the after midnight show, that it's really great to see this side of her expressed. And she wrote to the song Believer, and I like how this is kind of, it reflects the song and yet is a different take on it. Like, in that case, you know, it's over and over again mentions how pain makes them a believer. And here we have offered up so many different things that can give a person faith. You know, the idea of I really like to love beyond yourself, to the immortal of cathedrals, to the stars after the stars. I like the whole idea of how the cathedral isn't a building, but rather the arch of the sky, the windows to the stars. You know, I like how, you know, almost every stanza starts with either believe or to believe. To believe, as great as they say, more alive than we imagine, and depend on a smile that knocks you down, capsizes you, and gives you a future. I like, you know, to me, that can be taken as two different smiles. By the way, you can still hear me commenting, right? Yes, no? Well,
the what?
Oh, I asked if you could still hear me commenting. Good. I wanted to make sure. But the part in the stanza where it mentions the smile, I feel like that can be taken one of two ways. Either the smile of someone you've gotten into a relationship with and you see the future for them, but what it speaks to me more of is the smile of your child. That, you know, that smile of a newborn, not a newborn, but, you know, an infant, when you look into their eyes and they smile at you and they depend so much and you see your future in them. When life, and I do like the end stanza, which when life gives you a hard time, believe in yourself and stand up to see the victory in spite of everything, to believe in refusing the night, believe pushing a cry, a huge yes, yes, yes to life. This is one of those poems that just explodes with positive energy. This is one of those poems that I'm pretty sure is right at this very moment sprinkling glitter all over every one of us in different countries. And I like that it shows that faith does not have to be an organized religion, but rather simply believing in oneself and believing in nature and finding that connection. So excellent write and very well done.
Well said. Yeah, there is faith in this, and a touch of spirituality sprinkled throughout, but it's not heavy-handed, and it doesn't paint the thought that way. It's more along the lines of pick yourself up off the ground, dust off your butt, and get back into it. She hits on those notions that there is under the dust diamonds in every stone, that in the middle of the desert a river can flow into the sea, the Atlantis of Jules Verne, to the pyramids that we raise. So there's that notion of there are grander things than we that have also fallen along the wayside of time. So the idea is to actually live in the moment rather than try and wallow in the pity of that which is. Because you look, believe like a tree that makes its buds in spite of the wind that takes its leaves. There you go. A tree doesn't die just because it loses its leaves or gets angsty in the moment. There is still the next day, the next rainfall, the next bud that comes out. And then there was another piece that's about the flower opening up to reveal its heart. Was another nice touch. Open your eyes. Look forward to that which you cannot see now, yet is out there if you were but to look.
I like that. I like that. And you're right. The mention of the trees and the flower and the revealing their hearts in the moment and not worrying because they lose their leaves was a really nice touch, and it worked really well as metaphors. So excellent comment there. And I'd like to welcome Salwa to the show. And at least I think that's what it is. Hi, Salwa.
Hello, everyone. How are you?
Glad to join us.
How are you doing? Oh, I'm trying to get over bad COVID. Almost there. I have to go to work tomorrow. So getting there, even though I'm still coughing. I love Naomi poems. Just incredible. I agree with all of you. She just has so much energy in this that, like, everything is just make you believe in the beauty that you see. Enjoy the moment, every moment. She takes us to a story from nothing to... It's really the choice you make. Could be immortal. I really love it from the start to the end. You're right. You take us all over the world, in the desert and back in time, everywhere. Just see the beauty and just put behind. It's amazing poem. I love it.
Excellent. Thank you, Salwa.
Yeah.
All right.
You're welcome.
Where are we off to next?
All right. And up next, we have Soul No Longer Shattered by Rironi 664. And it goes like this. Locked my darkness inside Pandora's box, threw the key away, box is shaking, the monster won't be kept at bay. Paste the smile to ward off your fears, holding back the overflowing well of tears. Masquerading the happiness that is hollow. Don't be Alice going down the rabbit hole to follow. Cornered, I blurt out the pain I held inside, buried in a shallow grave, flummoxed, nowhere to hide. Translucent body who will judge and render her verdict. Gavel pounds down, heart is racing, donning orange suit of the convict. She takes my hand, the sunshine halting the rain, believing in me to stop the pounding pain, breaking the shackles I have worn, freezing the fractured faculties of the forlorn, gray skies and nebulous blobs scattered, clear thinking my soul is not shattered. End poem.
Great read, Pam. Thank you very much. I like the opening thought in this, lock my darkness inside Pandora's box, threw the key away. Box is shaking, the monster won't be kept at bay. Pace a smile to ward off your fears, holding back the overflowing well of tears. That paints a bleak picture to start with. Locking up that nasty bit of you inside a box, never to be let out again. And then the thought of the masquerade digging down into the rabbit hole with Alice. And I like she used flummoxed. Don't hear that very often. Nice touch right with that one. And there's the thought of being judged And Gavel Pounds Down Heart is Gavel Pounds Down Heart is Racing, Donning Orange Suit of the Convict. Now, for me, that's just the sort of a metaphor in there, because breaking the shackles I have worn, freezing the fractured faculties of the forlorn. There is a note of fighting oneself, a battle raging within, and trying to keep that that monster, that darkness locked up so it doesn't walk itself across your face and inflict itself upon others. And Salwa, how about you?
I agree. I love the idea that you put the lock the darkness inside the Pandora box. And the rhyming, before I go on, it's amazing how I really give a beautiful cadence to the poem itself. Now, the ending, I like how you say, she takes my hand, the sunshine halting the rain, believing in me to stop the pounding pain. To, like, when someone takes your hand in real life and believe in you, it just make you feel kind of secure maybe and forget about your own pain. And how he started with the title when he says, soul no longer shattered, that's how he ended up. I really like this idea that no more, he's feeling no more shattered because he broke this, kept this darkness inside the Pandora and freezing the fracture faculty of the forum. He just went through one stage to another until he could clearly think and not anymore shattered. Well, very interesting poem.
Okay. Salwa, thank you. And Pam, how about you?
Well, first of all, before I comment, I'd like to welcome Kel to the show. Welcome, Kel. Glad you could join us.
Kel. Hello.
Hey.
I am.
Well,
good to hear you, Salwa. Good to hear you too, Kel. Sorry, I'm going to try
yes,
to
it is. And I have to say, wonderful rhyme and flow here. I really like how in the first two stanzas, it gives that idea of trying to hide your fear, trying to hide your anger, trying to hide what you really feel. And then I like how she uses Alice in Wonderland, the going down the hole, and even the scene in the book movie where she's declared to be guilty, and there's this real sense of wallowing in that feeling of guilt, those shackles of of our own thoughts. I feel like that part of that, this is about those shackles of our own thought. And I really liked how she did, how there's alliteration is with freezing the fractured faculties of the forlorn. I also thought it was really cool that she wrote to three different songs, Demons, Believer, and Bad Liar. And I thought really came through with pieces of both, all of them, and especially Bad Liar, with the idea of not letting anyone know how truly angry and sad that you are on the inside. So I thought this was very well done.
Nice. And Kel, did you get to hear that by chance?
No, but I did read it. I've got to say that I thought it was an awesome poem from beginning to end. I mean, the idea of locking your darkness inside a box, that's really, wouldn't that be an awesome thing? Masquerading the happiness that is hollow, don't be Alice going down the rabbit hole to follow. Is this, the rhyme and flow is spectacular, and it's got some really wonderful lines to it. I thought it was a fantastic poem.
Oh, thank you very much, Kel. And all right, Pam, what we dip it into?
All right. All right. Up since I know Saul isn't feeling well, I'm going to go ahead and make sure her poem gets played. We have I See Beauty After the Rain by I Love Poems. And
thank you.
Yep, absolutely. And we have a SoundCloud for that. So here we go.
I love poems. I see beauty after the rain. Je vois la beauté après la pluie. It's true I was broken again and again. Yet I wish that all the sad memories inside my mind sail away with the waves of the sea. When I'm alone with my soul, I remember I'm a believer. I see beauty after the rain, after my words and my pain. C'est vrai que j'étais brisé encore et encore. Pourtant, je souhaite que toutes les tristes mémoires dans mon esprit flotte avec les vagues de la mer. Quand je suis seule avec mon âme, je me souviens que je suis croyante. Je vois la beauté après la pluie, après que mes mots ont écrit mes douleurs. End the poem.
Great, Reed Sawa. Thank you very much for the SoundCloud. It is greatly appreciated. And Kel, why don't we kick off with you, please?
This is beautiful, Sawa. Inside my mind, yet I wished all the sad memories inside my mind sail away with the waves of sea. And
sorry.
I see the beauty after the rain, after my words penned in my pain. On your rhythm and flow is beautifully done, but the message is really fantastic. It would be awesome if we could just let our memories sail away so we didn't have to worry about them anymore. And, you know, when you're alone and you remember, you know, just have it all washed away. This is really beautiful, honey.
Thank you so much, Kel.
Nicely said, Kel. Thank you. And Pam, how about you?
This is a beautiful brevity. And, of course, you read it just wonderfully in English and French. And even though I don't understand French, I appreciate the beauty of the sound of it. And I like how this comes across as very, like, confessional-style poetry, but condensed in a brevity, especially with that first line. It is true, I was broken again and again. You know, that it's like that moment of standing up and saying, yes, this is my truth. This is what happened to me. And I like how you bring in the idea of sailing away with the waves of the sea and then seeing the beauty after the rain. There's such a positive, uplifting tone to this, even though it's sad, but it's uplifting because it has this idea of renewal. It has this idea of having a heart that sees the best in life and the best in nature and the best in oneself despite having been hurt over and over again. You know, so just an excellent write all the way through and very well done.
Thank you so much, Pam.
I bite on that confessional angle too, but I look at it as a little bit deeper than that. For me, this is a mirror. That opening stanza sits by itself as you looking into the mirror. And then the back end of this, the second stanza, is you, once you have offered up the words to your pen to release the pain, it is then you looking out from the mirror to see that which lies beyond.
All of you.
Oh, you're welcome.
Beautifully. Sorry, I'm trying to keep quiet. I put myself on mute.
All right, Pam, where are we heading next?
All right, let me grab the next poem and do All right. Up next, we have The Madness We Bloom by Duncan Ross Bell. And Rex, will you give that a read for us, please?
The Madness We Bloom by Duncan Ross Bell. As you reach the core and burn from within, will you reach for more, abuse the fading edge? What good am I? The broken at best, sounding false alarms, pounding death to rest. Parade for the man at arms before I've made my own calling, through breach and through crawling, and rip the resolve from its company. Because we resemble our evil, but what's asked and required, then rejoice in the pinch of our misery. Two turns on a rusty dime, each side to the trusty crime, ozone conspiracies, domino moralities, facepalm excuses, laying deuces on your table, fable in a forward, truth of essence in a sack. All right, Pam, why don't you start? Kick that off.
I really like this. I'm glad Duncan Ross Bell is inspired to write. It's great all the way through, but it's the third stanza that really speaks to me. Parade for the man at arms before I've made my own calling, through breach and through crawling, and rip the resolve from its company because we resemble our evil. It's that whole idea that to me that we resemble the company we keep. The idea that misery loves company. And I like also that the questions in here, like, will you reach for more, abuse the fading edge? What good am I? You know, that whole idea of that idea of reaching the edge, blurring the lines between reality and fantasy into a dark form. I also like ozone conspiracies, domino moralities. Domino moralities was a really great phrase and gave thought to me of the idea that once you let one moral drop, that others will fall as well. That you can make all the excuses you want, but eventually there's going to be that domino effect that is going to pull humanity down. So just a really strong write and very well done.
Wow, thank you, Pam. And Kel, how about you?
Well, I agree with Pam 100%. This is an awesome poem, facing our own morality or our ethical values, whatever, it's just because we resemble our evil, but what's asked and required, then rejoice in the pinch of our misery. It's just very well written, and I think it's got a sarcastic and ironic tone to it. You can't just go around doing whatever you want and not expect people to be hurt. Very well done.
Thank you, Kel. And Salwa, how about you?
Salwa, I had to go.
Oh, okay. Okay, all right, let me see. The Madness We Bloom. As you reach the core and burn from within, will you reach for more, abuse the fading edge? And that question is the notion of who and what you are in the moment. Do you offer up truth, or just do you offer up anger to bleed someone dry? False alarms, that thought was a nice touch there. Parade for the man at arms before I've made my own calling, through breach and through crawling, and rip the resolve from its company, because we resemble our evil. Well, that kind of hits hard at those who dress down those who have fought for the country, and then they get berated as they come home. I like the last stanza, two turns on a rusty dime, then offering up the thought to each angle, two sides, each side to the trusty crime. Ozone conspiracies, domino moralities, palm excuses, laying deuces on your table. Well, that thought of laying deuces kind of hits on the notion of, this is the shit you spread. seduces. Fable in a foreword, truth of essence in a sack. But when it hits hard, there's too much of the truth in a sack, and it's never allowed to breathe properly. All right, Pam, where are you going?
I like that thought of you said the deuce is representing this is the shit you spread. I also think it probably represents the poker game deuces wild and the idea.
Well, yeah,
of
I offered that because of the last line has sack, truth, essence in a sack. So I married that with the deuce as a sack full of shit, so to speak. And the aromas that come with it, and there's no truth
absolutely.
In that.
Absolutely, absolutely. I like that. I like that. I do think I was just saying though that there's also that kind of you are right, and you got a great observation there. I think within those lines, there's also that kind of duality of that other meaning put in there. But very cool. All right. And, Kel, I have your write-up next. Go ahead and give it a read for us, please.
Okie dokie. There Were Dragons by Kel Smiles. And as usual, I took a little bit more literal, but here we go. Get back, Sammy. I can't read. Legendary winged warriors born from dreams and fiery ash. Bred in volcanic rocky caves, hot lava flows in their veins. Flying over lands of dusty rust, they cry molten silver ingots, transforming with a silver lining the desolate landscape's crust. Thunder roared from their throats as their roars lengthened a song could be heard under the thunder, spreading over radioactive tundra. Believe the song was pure as liquid gold of salvation from the apocalyptic liars, nuclear cheaters, and cowards of old. They sang a story of a struggle to uphold. If there be dragons that could sing, they would sing of possible things, of love for life and love of another, music that would tear hearts asunder. And foam.
Great read, Kel. Thank you very much. All right, Pam, what you got?
Yeah, I really like this. Wonderful rhyme and flow. I like how you took the name of the group and played with that, like made that the kind of the center theme. But I like how, as you mentioned, you wrote a little bit to each song, and you can really see it. Like you can see where you say flying over lands of dusty rust, they cry molten silver ingots. Like you could see the whole the landscape of and the lines of the song Radioactive. And also I like this all the way through, like you've got thunder mentioned. I thought that was really cool. And I like how you bring sound in here, not just imagery, but the sound of the dragons. Believe the song is pure as liquid gold of salvation from the apocalyptic liars. I like how in this particular tale, you've made the dragons the heroes. You've made it so it's their song that will save the world from and oftentimes, you know, in life, that's the way it is. You know, oftentimes the bad guy doesn't look like a bad guy. And I really like how not only do you pay tribute within these lines to their different and use their different song titles and their name, but that you also pay tribute to the victory and the healing that comes with music. And so just a really excellent write, Kel, and very well done.
Mostly said, Pam. Thank you. I'm going to go a little further. Because you hit on that note, legendary winged warriors, bred in volcanic rocky caves, hot lava flows in their veins. I like that. And they cry molten silver ingots, transforming with a silver lining the desert landscape's crust. Again, another nice touch there. And then the thunders roar from the throats. There is some notes to myth and legend where there were some dragons that were protectors of certain arenas, certain realms, towns, villages, and such. And nothing would befall those areas that the dragon protected. So that's what how you have me thinking here, and how the they are revered for that protection in your notation with this piece.
Thank you, both of you, very much. Can I say this was a perfect prompt for this time, because today was the ninth year anniversary of my husband's passing. And he believed in dragons. He believed in dragons. So this was perfect. And I was proud to write for it. Thank you.
Oh, all right. I'm so glad to hear that.
Yes.
Then you saw the title of this contest. Ooh, I like that thought. I'm not going to get me some of that.
Yes.
Yep.
Very cool.
He loved typing. Matter of fact, I brought some of his little sculptures and stuff home with me. And I've got them scattered around the house here and there, you know, so every now and then I can look up and see one of his dragons, you know. It's cool. It's cool.
That is really nice.
Yeah. So thank
you,
everybody.
All right, where are we going next?
All right, and up next, we have Your Eyes by Martha Gettle, and we have a recording for that, so let me go ahead and do find that. I know it's here. All right, and here we go.
In Your Eyes by Martha Gettle. I never believed in demons, it's true. I didn't until the day I met you. I never saw the evil waiting me there. I thought for me, you really cared. But there's a demon hidden in your eyes. Silly me, I never saw through your disguise. Not until the hurt came down like rain, and you left me in a world of searing pain. Mama told me to look out for guys like you. She warned me they'll break your heart in two. They'll walk away and leave you shattered, taking with them everything that mattered. I only saw what you wanted me to see. You had me fooled so completely. I even turned against my best friend when she said, you can't trust a guy like him. Mama told me to look out for guys like you. She warned me they'll break your heart in two. They'll walk away and leave you shattered, taking with them everything that mattered. Now my life, it will never be the same. Not since I ran into your demon's flame. And now I have learned a lot, it's true, since I played the fool for you.
Great read, Martha. Thank you very much for the SoundCloud. It is greatly appreciated. And Kel, why don't we start with you?
sounds a little bit like my second husband. Oh, he had me fooled. Okay. I really like this. You know, I never believed in demons. It's true. I didn't. Not until the day I met you. Her rhyming is always exquisitely done. She's just an awesome writer. You know, with her lyrics and everything, it's just wonderful. I only saw what you wanted me to see. You had me fooled so completely. I even turned against my best friend when she said you can't trust a guy like him. It's just really wonderful all the way through. Good job, Martha.
Thank you, Kel. All right, Pam, how about you?
Yeah, I have to agree that this is great all the way through. I really like how she takes this on the idea that the true evil, the true demons, the true manipulation comes not from the spiritual realm, but rather from people who choose to manipulate, who choose to lie. I'm really particularly drawn to the chorus where it says, Mama told me to look out for guys like you. You know, Mama always knows best, but no one will ever listen to her because we all have to learn for ourselves. We very rarely do we learn from our parents' mistakes. We have to learn from our own. And where she says, I even turned against my best friend when she said, you can't trust a guy like him. And, you know, the idea of turning on your best friend because somebody manipulated you into believing that you couldn't trust them. You know, it's all part of it. It has that feel of that very, as we were saying before, a narcissistic personality. And, you know, I really like this all the way through, but I also really like that end stanza. Now my life, it will never be the same, not since I ran into your demon's flame. There's that idea that even if you escape, you still bear the emotional scars. So just excellent write and very well done.
Well said. All right, there's a bunch of things in here. All right, there's a notion to eyes wide shut, the masquerade, so to speak, because you didn't bother listening, Mama. She warned you about bad boys, yet you wanted the bad boy anyway, and you didn't even think to give your best friend a fair shake by dumping her because of it. This is kind of almost like the invitation to that which comes. You've been warned fairly, yet you walk right into it, eyes wide shut, so to speak.
And, I like that.
And at the very end, you get what was always going to happen anyway, and it didn't matter whether Mama told you or your girlfriend told you, you were still going to walk that very same path.
Absolutely, absolutely. I really like that you brought up the masquerade and the eyes wide shut thought, the idea of, you know, knowing what you were getting into. So, very cool. I also like that Robbie in LNP says the term gaslighting comes to mind. I thought that was a cool thought.
But that works both ways, because while you're being gaslit, you're also gaslighting yourself because you didn't bother listening to anybody.
Yep. Yep, exactly. Exactly.
All right. What's next?
Up next we have Only You Provide by Brother Jacob, and that is a parody of Demons. So either read it or sing it, Rex.
It's getting rated. I don't have enough of the tune to actually do it. All right. Only You Provide by Brother Jacob. When the days are night and the world's not right and the things we see make us lose our light, when the world's in fear, you will be right here, always by our side. only you provide. The blood you shed will never lose its power. Lord, we cry out to you in our darkest hour. Forgive us of our greed. It's only you we need. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. When will we turn to you and swallow all our pride? Only you provide. Only you provide. Lord, break our hearts till it's only you inside. Only you provide. Only you provide. All is vanity. It's insanity. There's a time we know all of this will go. We know we've let you down. Lord, help us turn around. Lord, it's all about you. You're the only truth. Forgive us of our greed. It's only you we need. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. When will we return to you and swallow all our pride? Only you provide. Only you provide. Lord, break our hearts till it's only you inside. Only you provide. Only you provide. When will we turn to you and swallow all our pride? Only you provide. Only you provide. Lord, break our hearts till it's only you inside. Only you provide. Only you provide. End poem. All right, Pam, you got the lead.
All right. Wow, I feel like we should all be, like, waving our arms up in the air. I have to say that you can tell this is a spot-on parody because, you know, even though you didn't sing it, between the fact that you just have this amazing reading voice and that it was a spot-on parody, there was a very musical quality in that read. You know, I thought, like, this is a wonderful spiritual rite. Not learning not to depend on yourself for provision, but rather to look towards a higher power. I like the question, when will we turn to you and swallow all our pride? I think the idea of swallowing one's own pride, no matter what your spiritual beliefs and who or what you choose to turn to, I think it comes those moments in life where you have to swallow your pride and say, yes, I need other people. I need help. I can't do it all on my own. So just an excellent write and very well done.
Thank you very much, Pam. And Kel, how about you?
Well, I think this would be awesome on a Christian radio show. I really do. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. It's very spiritual. I agree with Pam on that. And I think you said it goes by demons, but I think it could also go by your kingdom, let your kingdom come, because he's also got that in there. Forgive us our grief. It's only you we need. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. I mean, it's just really a fantastic poem all the way through. No matter your spiritual beliefs, you know, it's just really beautiful.
Oh, absolutely. And I agree with you. I'd have to go back and look at the original and marry this up. But you're right, this would work. Put the music to this would work great on Christian radio as a thought that everyone there could enjoy and indulge with and share, because it does walk that line of faith. It speaks to belief and the fear of that which is us, essentially, and that is we're not perfect, never will be, and there is that need of having something that has our back, so to speak, and that walks in this totally. Nicely done, Brother Jacob. Didn't expect this one, but well done. All right, Pam. What you got next?
All right. Up next, we have Monsters by Julie Buck. And it goes like this. Betwixt thin lunar lines, amongst neutral stars in the sky, lives a safe haven where my monsters go to cry. Days now see my foam at the mouth, scratch my head and wish to propel south of the anger valve I feel inside. Building up, releasing steam never freed me from any angry screams. The entanglement I see, yes, was created by me. The price I pay is paid every day. I don't deserve this cushion of a life. Not with my knotted attitude, severely dry humor, and sweaty, guilty lies. Isn't it all tough enough already without so much taunting of a girl gone mad? Why not let me condense this all into three words and we'll call it just another fad? See now why I behave so bad? A quiet song to visit, a musical grace, spatially welcoming the lonely human race. An apology isn't a removal of my hurtful wrong. When you said I left a stain on your life, pieces of you were lost just then. Some words go on hurting forever. No, no, don't open that closet. It may be where, well, the one where I keep my dark secrets and my pain, betwixt thin lunar lines. Amongst neutral stars in the sky lives a safe haven where my monsters go to cry. End poem.
Great read, Pam. Thank you very much. All right, Cal, we're going to start with you. What did you think about this?
Oh, I like it. Really like it. Where my monsters go to cry. Wow, that's just a really awesome phrase there. Most days now seems I foam at the mouth, scratch my head, and wish to propel south of the anger valve I feel inside. This is a really powerful, emotive, strong piece of, you know, owning up to her own transgressions, so to speak. And maybe the one where I keep my dark secrets and pain betwixt thin lunar lines. I really like this. I really do. It's really amazing writing.
Thank you, Kel. All right, Pam, you read it. How about you?
Yeah, this is a powerful and emotive write on that inner struggle, but it's more than just the inner struggle. It's, to me, it has the raw, edgy vulnerability of someone who acts tough because they don't want people to see their fear, their monsters. And sometimes monsters aren't necessarily that which makes us a bad person, but that which makes us a person afraid to show people who we truly are. And I like how there's this honesty in it of how, yes, I know I've done wrong, and that an apology isn't a removal of my hurtful wrong. That's such an important line because that's something that we all need to remember. You know, it's important to apologize, but it's more important not to keep hurting people over and over again. And I also really like, you know, the questions in here, see now why I behave so bad. That there's that sense of how oftentimes people make excuses for their behavior. The entanglement I see, yes, was created by me. The price I pay is paid every day. What I really liked about this also is I noticed Julie put a bit more rhyme in this one than most of her other poems, and I thought it worked really well. It gave it a really nice lyrical quality. And to me, there's this really great sense of someone who's come to the realization that they only have themselves to blame. And betwixt thin lunar lines, I thought was a really great line to describe that kind of madness held between the hours of midnight. So just a really great write and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. I like the, most days now seems I foam at the mouth. What is a nice rabid quality to that line? Scratch my head and wish to propel south of the anger valve I feel inside. building up, releasing steam never freed me from any angry screams. Yes, created by me. There's a notation there to, yeah, I'm the monster of my own payback, so to speak. The thought is, and again, I don't deserve this cushion of a life, not with my knotted attitude. And then hits on the severely dry humor. Blah, blah, blah. There's nothing wrong with that. But the sweaty, guilty lies kind of hits on the notation of thought, especially when you get down to no, don't open that closet. There's a notation. You open that door, it kind of hits on the notion of the skeletons that are hidden there, but it also hits on the notion of you open that door, you'll be unleashing hell on earth. Because she hits up just before that. You hit on that, an apology has been removed, my hurtful wrong. When you said I left a stain on your life, pieces of you were lost then. Some words go on hurting forever. So there is that notation with don't open that closet because you don't want what's coming out of it on the back end of things. And the thought too, it's amongst the stars and the sky, there's a safe play where my monsters go to cry. There's that notion of tamping down that monster to the point where there's no joy because they weren't unleashed.
I like that thought. Very cool.
What you got, Nia?
Up next, we have Fear of Lying by Confess. And Kel, will you give that a read for us, please?
Certainly. Fear of Lying by Confess. Broken hearts, torn apart, chasing secrets, rushed. Phone dialing, clothes are piling up. Dark, twisted shadows as the doors, the eyes blink twice. My cover is blown. Across the hall, there is a ball. Or is this a ballroom, a balloon? Blithering in this wicked air I've ingested at noon. Can't possibly have this happen again. I chose to tell the truth. End poem.
Great read, Kel. Thank you very much. All right, Pam, why don't you kick us off?
Well, I find her title interesting. I think it's rather clever how instead of Fear of Flying, the book by Erica Wong, she chose Fear of Lying. And so I think there's a connection there. The wonderful dark right, across the hall there's a ball or is this a balloon, really makes me think of the clown in It, but it really makes me think about how how lies lure us into just keep telling them over and over again, and how flittering in this wicked air I've ingested at noon, can't possibly have this happen again, I choose to tell the truth. There's this real inner battle of, you know, do I keep telling this lie or do I let the truth be revealed? Phone dialing, clothes are piling up, dark twisted shadows, the doors creak. I feel like this is about a family where there's a dark secret within the family, and this person knows that it can no longer be kept. Just a really stunning dark write and very well done.
I like that. All right, Kel, how about you? You walk in the same lines?
Pretty much. Dark twisted shadows as the doors creak. Shifty eyes blink twice. My cover is blown. Across the hall there is a ball, or is this a balloon? I thought it was very clever writing. I like this shifty eyes blink twice. My cover is blown. It's like, you know, I'm going to have to tell because I'm going to be found out anyway. Yeah, this is really well done. I quite liked it. And this is the first time I've got to read Confess, so that was pretty awesome.
Thank you.
Good job.
Yeah, it kind of hits on that notion of that first line, broken hearts, torn apart, chasing secrets, rushed. chasing secrets. And then there's the kind of that rush to tell, the thought of a phone dialer and clothes are piling up. Dark twisted shadows as the doors creaked. So there's a little spy going on there. The shifty eyes blink twice. My cover is blown. Shifty eyes and the blink twice. There's that understanding. There's that tell, like in poker. You give you tell the rest of the players what's going on because you have a tell. It's that blink of the eyes, and they know you have something. At that point, you have got to offer it up or be doomed, so to speak. The flittering in this wicked air I've ingested at noon, and it was another nice touch too, because yeah, maybe you cut school and was home sneaking in the door and you found out something you weren't supposed to see, and all of a sudden, you know what? Some things you can't hide because it's already written on your face, as Mama used to say. And then you end up with that last stanza. Can't possibly have this happen again. I chose to tell the truth. So you can cover up so much before that which is written on your face actually comes as something you can look in the mirror and say, oh, damn, yeah, it's written all over my face. I'm deep shit.
Well said, Rex. All right. I'm going to go ahead and read my poem, and that way next week we can just 100% concentrate on ZZ Top. All right. And this is the last night. This is Cheap Wine and Dirty Deeds, and it goes like this. Cheap wine and dirty deeds, love them like brother, love them like no other. Make it big and make it bigger, a possibility of tyrannical lullabies drawn from the forgotten perspective of a new window. Collapse social order upon a mountain awakening. We dig deep for treasures buried in the hall of the kings. A bicycle built for the cruising of fan clubs. Writing the fiction of another man, a one parade hit of wonder. Jezebel loves to strip the gears into a fourth degree of Nottingham darkness. Our wee little piggy pulses pink and hot of the fool's doggy bag fetish. Climbing along the huckleberry wall, no time like the present to realize you toilet papered the tree of your Midas touch and cracked eggs loop-de-loop to become a horizontal pose in the dead man's hope chest. End poem.
Great read, Pam. All right, Kel, are you laughing yet?
I don't know. She's laughing nervously.
Yeah.
Well, I figured she'd get a giggle when she come back online, and she did.
Well, I missed like the first couple of lines because I was finishing a comment. So just can you go ahead, Rex, and I'll get right back with you. I want to read it again.
Well, between the title and the opening line, well, my first thought was, dirty deeds done dirt cheap.
Oh, yeah.
And it kind of walks that way. We dig deep for treasures buried in the Hall of the Kings. A bicycle built for the cruising of fan clubs. Well, that kind of offers up oneself above the rest. A one parade hit of wonder. And that kind of speaks to some bands, some across. I did like the thought of dropping Robin Hood in here into a fourth degree of Nottingham darkness. Wee little piggy pulses pink in part of the fool's doggy bag fetish. There's a little bit of nastiness in that. And the huckleberry wall. Yeah, I'll be your huckleberry. Yeah, that kind of fool. And toilet papered. Okay, when you got to toilet paper, I said, well, you can't toilet paper a gold arse. It don't work. It's too hard. And crack eggs, loop the loop, become a horizontal pose in the dead man's hope chest. You know what? The goose might lay the golden eggs, but you know what? Before you make an omelet, you got to crack a few. And if you're hungry, there is no hope in the dead man's chest.
Absolutely. Thank you, Rex.
Okay. I liked it. I like this a lot. I like the little references. A bicycle built for the cruising of fan clubs, kind of like a bicycle built for two. And one paradise, one parade hit of wonder, Jezebel loves to strip the gears into a fourth degree of Nottingham darkness. We do little piggy pulses pink and pot as a full doggy bag fetish and climbing along the huckleberry wall. Oh, golly, this is just, it's great. Even if there's a deeper meaning, it doesn't really matter because each little line, each little verse or whatever is just amazing. No time like the present to realize you toilet paper the trees of your Midas touch. I mean, it's wonderful. It's really wonderful, Pam.
Thank you, Kel. Thank you so much. And great show tonight, Rex.
Yep. Was a great show. Wonderful time. Thank you for sitting in with us, Kel, and thank you, Salva. Thank you to EP. Thank you for hanging out on the boards. Naomi, Jeremy, Robbie, thank you all too. And next week, we're doing a little band from Tejas with some ZZ Top.
Yeah, that ZZ Top up.
Yes, it is. Because Dusty Hill died a couple of months ago, and I never got to do anything for him, so this will be in notation for that. Because the last song that I put down there was the very last song before his death that he performed on.
Well, we need one from Eagle, too, because he just passed away as well.
Yes, I'm going to be doing that one here shortly, too, leading off February.
Wonderful, wonderful. All right, kids, have a good night.
Too much of our brethren are leaving us.
That is very sad and very true.
Yes. Definitely.
All right, gang. Have a good evening, and we'll do this again next Sunday.